Whatever is not a word you want to hear. You need to be nice to your brothers. Whatever. If you ask someone where they want to eat, sometimes you'll hear, whatever, meaning, it all sounds good to me, you can decide. Or you might hear, whatever, which means I don't have the energy to make a decision, you decide. Or if you were an hour late coming home and frustration has set in, you might hear, whatever. And we all know that means no matter what you do or where you take me, it won't make up for what you did. But the word whatever in general means anything and everything. And in our scripture reading from Philippians, he starts off with whatever happens. And this is not an apathetic whatever happens. This is a bold statement. In this case, Paul is emphatically stating that anything and everything that could possibly happen. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, good, bad, or otherwise, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And what does that phrase mean, worthy of the gospel of Christ? It means you practice what you preach. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Love God. Turn the other cheek. Put others first. Be a witness. Meet the needs of other people. Give the person the shirt off your back. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Pray for one another. You know, all that stuff that fits into the good news about Jesus we call the gospel. Peter describes a life worthy of the gospel like this. He said, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. No matter what happens, how we react, how we respond should be so pure to the gospel that people who don't know Christ will see what it means to be a follower of Christ. And through our actions or reactions, we'll actually lead people to Christ. Many of us have a problem on how we react, especially to those great injustices of life, like when someone cuts you off in traffic, or when a store clerk is really rude. And there are times when someone does something, and boy, wouldn't you like to give them a piece of your mind. But you see, as Christians, we can't do that. We have to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Have you ever seen one of those stories where a parent tragically loses a kid to a drunk driver, and the parents are in the news the next day forgiving the perpetrator? That would be hard to do, wouldn't it? But they were acting in a manner worthy of the gospel. And if people can do that, then we look at ourselves and we can't even hold our tongues over politics, can we? And it's just not when bad things happen. Sometimes when good things happen, we need to react in a manner worthy of the gospel. In life, we have many people who are not gracious winners. We have people that use a job promotion to stick it to someone else when they become the boss. We have people who are boastful, people that are greedy and self-serving with their bonuses. We can take good things and make them bad things when we do not act in a manner worthy of the gospel. You see, the world watches us as Christians, and they don't want to become Christians. Why? Because they see us tear each other apart in lawsuits. They see us rip political figures on social media. They see us mishandle divorces. They see us slack off in the office when the boss leaves on vacation. They see us get excited over sports, and they'll see us jump up and down for a great touchdown catch. Yet we don't even seem to get excited for Jesus Christ. We don't get excited to go for Sunday mornings. And Paul is telling us, whatever happens, good or bad, whatever happens, let us live a life worthy of the gospel. In our Old Testament lesson, we heard just the last part of the story of Joseph. If we go back in our Old Testament history, Abraham was the one God chosen to be the father of a great nation. And he had one son, Isaac. Isaac had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. And through a twist of events, not so well in some cases, but Jacob earned the birthright to carry on his father's legacy. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob's name would later be turned to Israel. So Jacob becomes a man known as Israel. And the 12 sons of Israel becomes the 12 tribes of the Israelites. And one of those tribes, Judah, is the beginning of the Jewish nation. Of the 12 sons, one of them was named Joseph. Joseph was beloved by his father above all others. He was given a special coat. And they did not like that. His brothers resented the favoritism. So his brothers come up with a plot, and they sell him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. He becomes a servant, and he continues to serve God and live righteously, but he gets jailed over something that he was framed for. And he gets out of that jail, and through a whole series of other events, Joseph goes from being a slave to becoming one of the highest people in the government. In fact, Joseph's job was to oversee everything regarding the stores and warehouses of the nation of Egypt. Joseph remains faithful to God in all of this. Joseph never seeks retaliation when bad things happen, because a lot of bad things happened. His brothers sold him. The wife got him framed for jail, and time after time, all these bad things had happened to him. He never sought retaliation. Instead, he remains faithful, and he allows God to use him in prison. He allows God to use him in the service of Pharaoh. And when Joseph finds success, he does not let power go to his head. He gives glory to God, and he uses his position to help the nation of Egypt survive a 7-year famine. And back in the land where Israel and his sons lived, they had a great famine, and they heard that there was food available in Egypt. So they travel to Egypt, and they come seeking help. And this is a place that Joseph could have really stuck it to them. He had the power to A, take care of them, or he had the power to refuse them, to kick them out, or even give them a taste of their own medicine. But instead, what does he do? But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Now, God did not cause his brothers to sell Joseph into slavery and lie to their father. His brothers sinned, and what they did was wrong. But God was able to use Joseph in all these different circumstances. And it worked out and played out so that God's will would eventually be done. And Joseph was able to save many lives. And because Joseph lived well, then so did the 12 tribes of Israel. In our lives, we will all see our share of good and bad. We will all have times when anything and everything seems to happen. And we will even have times when it seems that nothing is happening, that we feel that God is silent. But as Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. God can and will use us in all circumstances to be his instruments if we let him. Our actions can and will advance the gospel. Our actions and reactions will show people our true faith, and through our witness, may they find Jesus Christ themselves. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today and we reflect on the ways that Paul called us to act. And we look at the story of Joseph and see how that through his life, he faced many adversities, many reasons for seeking retaliation, many reasons to just give up. But he remained faithful in his faith to you. He remained strong and resilient, not bowing to the pressures around him. And Lord, you used him to bless many people. The people of Egypt were able to survive a famine, and because of him, his brothers were also rescued. Lord, let us remember in all that we do that the world is looking at us. And Lord, even now more than ever, we are on social media, we are on around people all the time, and they see how we react, and oftentimes they find that we do not act or react the way a Christian should act. In fact, they see no difference between them or us. So why get up on Sunday mornings? Why claim to have a life of faith if you're not going to live the life of faith? Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us where we lack faith, and forgive us for the times that we have acted in a way that leads people away from Christ. And Lord, as we leave here today, let us seek to look towards you in all circumstances, and may we always live a life that is worthy of the gospel. All of this we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we prepare to leave here today, I want you to think about something. Everything that we do either leads people to Christ or leads people away from Christ. Paul calls us that in all circumstances to live our lives worthy of the gospel. And I'm here to tell you that in all circumstances, in all ways, even when the worst seems to be happening to you, God can use you in that circumstance. Because he's either there to train you, to equip you, or to prepare you for something. And it may not be in that moment that you understand why you are where you are at. But have faith in God, and in all circumstances, look to him and say, God, how can you use me in this circumstance? How can I use this as an opportunity to lead others to Christ? Go now and leave here and live your lives worthy of the gospel. Go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.